Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
If you're going to bet on sports, bet with MyBookie.com, where instant access to the action allows you to bet anything, anytime, from anywhere. Use the promo code Drinkin' Bros and get started with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000 at MyBookie.com. What's up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox. I'm joined by Dan Holloway, and we've got some fucking day ball going on today.
Good day ball, too.
Yeah. This was we got Braves, Brewers in top of the fourth inning, I believe. Dansby Swanson is up right now. We're watching along live. The Braves hit a couple of monster dongs last at bat, and off the bats of what? Ozuna and Riley. Riley hit a three-run bomb, and then Ozuna went right after him and hit another bomb. I think I said before we started, they didn't put the balls in the humidor today because those things got crushed.
Well, Dansby just crushed that ball. If I had to guess, we don't have StatCast on this because it's a regular Bally's broadcast. But I'm guessing that ball probably came off the bat at like 103, 104. I mean, you can see how hard it's hit. It just ate the shortstop up.
They're not a fun hop either.
No, and it looks like Corbin Burnes is pitching for the Brewers today. And let's be real, his fucking season so far has been pretty good. I've got some stats here, actually. Let me find them.
So just to frame this game up for those who haven't been watching along, the rubber match between the Brewers and the Braves, two division favorites going into the year, and aces on the mound in Corbin Burnes and Max Fried going up against each other. So far, Fried is outdueling his counterpart.
Yeah, he hasn't really been touched yet. So Corbin Burnes, since in his last 41 starts before today, since August 28th of 2020, 2.12 ERA. Opponents are slashing 194, 242, and 274 against him and striking out 36% of the time.
Good.
So today is clearly an aberration. His ball looks a little flat today.
Yeah.
Like he throws that really good running fastball inside to right-handers, and he left two. One came in over the plate to Riley, and he fucking crushed it. And the other one, Ozuna, two nights in a row, they've thrown him inside fastballs below the hand. You can't do it. Like, if you throw inside to Ozuna, it needs to be above the hands.
Yeah. He obliterated both those balls. But the one with Riley, you're right. Like, that Burnes just left. I mean, that was like center.
Yeah.
Like, that ball was...
It didn't run at all back in towards the inside of the plate. And look, Riley, you can get Riley out throwing two-seam fastballs inside. He doesn't handle that pitch very well.
He has been going... He was pretty good at going inside out last year.
Yeah.
And he's been kind of cold this year. Something I was going to talk about in a bit. But he hasn't been kind of flipping the ball to the other side of the field as much this year for whatever reason. I mean, it's early. But the Braves have looked awesome. I don't know how much. Did you get to see much of that inning before? Because you were doing the show before Riley's home run.
No, I missed most of it. Olson went up the middle. I saw that. It was nice.
Olson, like, absolutely ground out in at bat. Started out, or Olson did, and... Olson did for sure. Olson, I think, started 0-2. Or no, Riley started 0-2 and got back into it and hit that home run. But Olson, too, was fouling the ball off a ton. It was a really, really fucking good at bat by Olson. So it was a good... The Braves have not... They've been pretty just fucking trash offensively.
Well, they haven't... there hasn't been any point in the season where they've... the strength of their lineup is when... the bottom third of the order is doing well and setting the table for the top third of the order, right? Now, they had runs where earlier in the season, the bottom of the order was doing well, but the top of the order just wasn't there yet. and mostly because people were batting out of position.
Yeah.
Right? Acuna was out. He came back, the bottom of the order kind of cooled off a little bit. Now they're starting to get warmed up again, but he was out for a couple of days. Now he's back, and today, yesterday and today, they're looking pretty good. Although 2 days ago, they struck out 16 goddamn times.
Yes.
That was a bit much.
So that was something I wanted to talk about. The Braves offense has been kind of surprisingly good today against Burnes and kind of carrying over from the last two or three innings of yesterday as well. Because they were getting dominated again for a good part of yesterday.
Yep.
Let's see if they're going to turn this.
No way.
That's safe. There you go. Okay. Duvall grounds into fielder's choice. But this is this game in particular has been pretty atypical. I was looking at, like, I know their offense has been terrible the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to kind of look into it just to see. It's real fucking bad. By the way, on the year, for the whole season so far, we lead the major leagues in strikeout percentage.
Yeah.
26% of the time the Braves are striking out.
Yeah, I think they're, let's see, team-wise in home runs, fifth.
Yes.
So that's good, but we also lead the league in solo home runs by a pretty wide margin. I think we got like 35 or something of the 45. Or yeah. It's 32 of the 45 home runs are solo shots. It's not good.
Right. And it seems like they're just kind of completely selling out for the home run.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, who knows, man? I don't know.
I expect Ozuna to do that. Mm. I expect Duvall to do that for the first six innings if there's no one on base, especially. Mm-hmm. I don't really expect like Riley or even Olson or Albies is kind of 50-50, or like Swanson. Like, I don't expect those guys to do it, let alone, or even Darnell. So it's a little bizarre to me that they all seem to be kind of just chasing that still.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's just a lack of focus, like going up. That's what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago with Riley. Just it seemed like he didn't have a plan at the plate. He was down 0-2 all the time.
Yeah.
Like you people, especially younger guys, sometimes when they struggle, that's another fielder's choice. Oh, no, it's two outs. Younger guys, when they struggle, tend to be like, all right, I'm going to calm down. I'm going to take some pitches and blah, blah, blah. And pitchers aren't fucking stupid, man. They know if you're up there and you're looking at the first pitch every time and you're not ambushing them, they're just going to throw a fastball right down the goddamn middle and you're going to look like an idiot. Then you're going to, and there's a psychological effect to that where you take a fastball down the middle and you're like, fuck, that was my one pitch for this at bat. Because usually you get one pitch per at bat that you can actually hit.
And you're waiting for it. It's not the first pitch, although a lot of dudes like Acuna, for example, especially at the start of games, kind of makes a living on just obliterating your get-it-over fastball.
Well, not just Acuna. I mean, that's one of the things that was the hallmark of Freddie Freeman's game, right? That and going to left center. Like, he ambushed the fuck out of people all the time. Yeah. Dansby does it, too, when he's hot. But you haven't seen a whole lot of a whole lot of great at-bats.
No.
Strung together from the Braves. We saw a couple tonight, but you can see.
Last inning was fantastic. Last inning, like I said, Olson had a great at-bat, and then Riley had a great fucking at-bat, and actually Acuna did too. I mean, Acuna got on base as well. But like the Olson and Riley at-bats especially, because Riley started out 0-2, and it was like, it was a pretty shitty 0-2. I think one of them was a bad strike call, and the other one was him kind of helplessly trying to defend what he thought was. What I think he knew it was a ball, but he was like, I gotta defend the plate on this one, and just missed it. So it was kind of a not a great swing, I guess. But I mean, yeah, they fucking battled back. I mean, Burns is the type of guy you expect to just bury him.
Yeah,
once they get down like
well,
that.
He's not particularly sharp today. He's already thrown 70 pitches through four innings, so it's still a relatively close game. It's 4-0. That's not out of hand.
Oh yeah,
the Brewers are. You know, look, their offense isn't spectacular by any stretch of the imagination, but they can definitely still come back in this game.
No, Roddy Tellez had a good at bat against Fried an inning or two ago. Where I think he saw like 10 pitches. He was fouling a lot off, but yeah, typically, I mean, that was the Brewers' entire bag last year, right? Like they were all pitching.
Yeah,
essentially. By the way, I think it was. Yeah, it was the first game. The game the Brewers won. When Devin Williams was on in the eighth, right? Because they had their setup man, and then Hader came on in the ninth. Watching him pitch, because I didn't really watch him at all last year, I just knew he was good. I was like, oh, yeah, fuck, they probably could have used this guy in the NLDS last year. For those who don't remember, Williams broke his hand punching a wall in celebration after they won the division.
Yeah, he did a the same thing that what's-his-nuts.
Inoa did.
Inoa, yeah.
Inoa also did it in Milwaukee.
Yeah. They've actually gotten off to a pretty good offensive start this year, too, though. They're
Tellez is, I think he's like got 8 or 9 home runs, something like that.
Well, they're fourth in home runs and fifth in RBI so far this year. So they're looking pretty good. And they went on, I don't remember how many in a row they won, but they got themselves into really good position in the Central. But the Cardinals have maintained pace. I mean, they're only 2.5 games back. So, and it seems like the Braves just have the Brewers' number. It's the Braves are their mountain to climb, and I guess in some of the or something similar to the Braves defeating the Dodgers last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if these two teams meet up in the playoffs again, and don't be surprised if the Brewers win. You know, I mean, that's their hill to climb. It's like that little extra motivation to sharpen up and do everything the right way. Take every single pitch of every single bat seriously, and it makes a difference on the team.
I kind of got the feeling in Monday's game watching Peralta pitch against the Braves. Mm. If you remember that Peralta game, it was the one they pulled him early.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was the clinching game. I think it was the game Jock Peterson won with his homer, and that was it. But yeah. Like, it was basically like Peralta was dealing, but they kind of just did that playoff shit where they pulled him. I could have just been me projecting, but it felt like Peralta was that was a real fuck you game.
Yeah, that he was not happy. And they've got they've got a serious pitching staff: Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. Anything else that happens behind that, like the Devin Williams and Hader at the back end of your bullpen.
That's the best back end of the bullpen in baseball.
Hader's, he's pretty fucking good. He's
you know, the only run he's given up since last July was Freddie Freeman's playoff homer.
Yeah. Not surprised by that.
Like, it's fucking insane.
And wasn't that the only left home run he gave up to a lefty all season last year or something like that?
Yeah, it had been like 2 years since he'd given up a homer to a lefty.
Yeah, he's legit. I mean, he's an exceptional player. I think they're still probably missing something on the offensive side.
Well,
like Andrew McCutchen at DH, that's not helpful.
What they were missing last year, and to an extent the year before as well, although COVID, you can just kind of, whatever, it's the COVID year. But they might have it back a little bit this year, is Yelich, right? Like, they don't necessarily need to add a piece so much as they need Christian Yelich to be Christian Yelich again.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a 170. Did he win the MVP in 2019? Was that when he won?
It was 18 or 19, yeah. I don't remember.
But, I mean, in 18, I think it was 19 because he had 44 home runs and 30 stolen bases in 2019. 174 WRC plus, and then the next 2 years were 112 and 101. This year, he's back up to 120. Already has 5 homers and 4 stolen bases, 24 runs, 20 RBIs. I mean, if Yelich can give him even in the 120, 130 range, like, forget 170. Like, if he can give him 25 to 30 homers and be an actual, like, adult bat in the middle of the lineup,
yeah,
like, that's, they've solved a lot of their problems right there, I feel like.
Sure, and they've got a little bit of, they got a little bit of draft capital as well that they might use to go out and get somebody like Cedric Mullins or somebody like that. Like, I can't imagine that Mullins is going to be a Baltimore Oriole by the end of the season.
No,
I would be shocked if that's the case. Or Trey Mancini, for that matter. Like, I can't imagine either one of those dudes staying in Baltimore. So there's options out there at the break. It'll be interesting to see. Like, we're at that point in the season. There's a potential
nice
double play
double
ball, but probably
play.
Not.
Got him.
Oh, man.
Oh, close.
Yeah, that's a hard one to turn.
Yeah. Yelich is pretty fast.
Things are starting to come together for teams. Like, they're figuring out their identity and stuff like that. You know, you can't really project success until you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Until all your players are locked in. I mean, the roster doesn't shrink down to its final size until the end of this month. And that's particularly...
Just glad Freed didn't get stepped on.
Yeah, he's
on
out.
Here.
He's safe.
That's the more clumsy footwork by Freed at first. It wouldn't have mattered, but...
It's particularly relevant for pitching staffs,
yeah.
But I would say for lineups as well. Teams are starting to figure out who they are, and you know, now you can start projecting a little bit. And you know, if it's a move you're thinking about making sometime in July or August before the deadline, you can role play some of that stuff, like put. Let's say, just for sake of argument, the Braves wanted to bring in somebody to replace Duvall. Not that they would, but
right.
Let's say they did. But they want that person to be like a table setter kind of guy, and they're not too much worried about home runs. They want to get people on base in the bottom third of the order, and they're looking at a high OBP guy. They might be able to move Duvall down to the 8-9 slot, put Dansby at the 7 slot or something like that, and practice with that lineup to see what it might look like.
Yeah.
And now this season, because it started late in spring training, was fucked up. Usually this is about the time of the year you would start experimenting like that with different lineups. But I think we're getting to that point now. So it'll be really interesting. The Braves have been shifting their lineup around quite a bit the last 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean, they jumbled it just the other day just to fucking try to wake it up. Because it was so bad. I mean, would they dropped Riley out of the 3-hole.
They put him in at 6 or 7, I think.
Yeah. I think Swanson was leading off because he was actually hitting pretty well. And also, so this is one thing I wanted to ask you about, because another reason they did that is because they held Acuna out for a couple games. And what do you, how long should they be kind of kid gloving Acuna?
Well, if it's something like a groin or hamstring, I don't know that they're kid gloving. That's just like one of those nagging injuries that can nag all season or turn into something more serious.
Yeah.
So I think they probably would have done that regardless. They actually let him play a couple of games when it was still sore.
Yeah.
But what you don't want is a guy favoring a tendon strain and leaning on a ligament and popping that motherfucker again. You know what I mean? That's the big worry. So I don't know. I mean, he's still, technically speaking, he's still inside the recovery window for that kind of injury. But, you know, whatever. What's this guy doing?
They just shot a foul ball into their own dugout.
I like the Brewers. They played around with some ugly uniforms, but the mitt with the ball in the middle of it, that's their best uniform.
Yeah, they need to pretty much like never change from this version of the uniform. The best, I like the Rodalts with the navy top, and then the yellow panel on the front of the hat with the MB glove logo or whatever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have a Paul Molitor version of that jersey at my house. Paul Molitor is one of my favorite all-time baseball players. A huge fan of him.
First and third for Fried. Getting a little... this is, what, third time through the order? Second time? Probably second time.
Second time, yeah.
Yeah. So...
He just missed his spot on a couple of pitches. He didn't get that in far enough. He's actually not... Fried's gotten lucky a couple times a day on pitches that leaked out over the plate that should have been inside.
Yeah. That was Renfro's second hit of the game as well. So yeah. Renfro's seen him
He sees
well
it pretty today. Well, yeah. They're going to have a little conversation here. I don't know Tyrone Taylor very much. That's who's coming up to hit now. He's kind of squeaked around with Milwaukee for the past couple of years, and he's getting some pretty regular playing time now. So yeah, he probably hasn't seen Max Fried that much.
Probably not. I mean, he's never played more than 93 games in a season. So yeah it's, but
I don't really remember him from the playoffs last year, although the Brewers didn't score very much in the playoffs.
No,
neither team did in that series, but
he had two plate appearances last year and struck out one of them, and that was it. So he was clearly coming off the bench last year.
Well, Max is looking for the double play right here. He wants him to roll over low and away fastball, probably maybe a changeup. Like, you got to be careful with the changeup. Yeah, he's missing his spots right now. You got to be careful with the changeup when you're trying to roll a double play and there's a guy on third, because soft contact is not optimal. Like, right. You want a guy to hit it pretty firmly to one of your infielders.
They'll probably trade the run here, though.
Certainly they would, yeah. But you want the double play.
Yeah.
And he's gonna. I would throw a curveball right here in the same spot he wanted that fastball to be.
There you go.
Well, he tried it. He missed his spot again, though, right?
Yeah.
Like that, he fouled that off the inside part of the bat right here. If he had thrown it where he wanted to, he would have hit it off the end of the bat out here, probably to third base, and that would have been a double play. But, you know, what I'd like to see from, and it's the difference between good and great when you're a pitcher, is having a game plan that extends beyond just the next pitch. You know what I mean? So let's see. What is he throwing here? Is it a low and away fastball? He really wants that double play. Otherwise, he'd be going inside right now. Oh,
fuck.
Left it up.
All right. Taylor drives in a run, 4-1 Atlanta. Yelich scores, first and second, a little more manageable, I guess.
Yeah, he was looking for that pitch, and that's why, you know, it's a strategy question, right? Do you want to get the double play and get out of it, or do you want to get this guy out?
Right. Like, do you think is that almost a little akin to what we talked about the other day, throwing over to the first base too much?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to, once you get a guy down two strikes.
No,
yeah.
That wasn't even a fastball. That looked like a changeup.
It does look a little bit like a changeup.
It said 90.
Yeah, if you're throwing the changeup low and away, you want it to be out of the zone. You don't want to put that pitch in the strike zone because it's basically a batting practice fastball at that point, right? Especially if the guy's looking for it. And you don't throw a changeup off of a curveball that frequently either.
No. So his curve was 77, the changeup was 90.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the changeup.
Even if, I mean, there weren't. It was 1-2, right? So you still have a pitch where you can buzz him inside and then throw that changeup away. That's probably how he should have gone. But again, just focusing on the batter, especially when you got a lefty coming up. I know Telez is a fucking legit power threat, and you don't want to fucking walk the bases loaded or anything to bring him up. But
like I said, Telez, it looks like it's this way this time too, but Telez had a really fucking good at bat his first time up. I mean, he had some
good at bats against Riot or against Freed in the playoffs too.
Yeah,
against a lot of Braves pitchers actually.
Who'd he crush in game one? Was that Morton?
I believe it was Morton. Yeah. He had like a fucking 3-run homer, just like destroyed that ball.
And then he killed a ball in game four too, but that we ended up winning. But
they're using the pitch com.
Yeah.
Now
are they?
Yeah. I just saw it on Darno's on his kit there.
That's funny.
Maybe it's different players.
Some players don't. I know the Dodgers don't use it at all. Because yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, Kimbrel purposefully balked a guy to third base because he thought he was stealing signs.
Interesting. I mean, you're Craig Kimbrel, so maybe just hit the guy in the face. That's a strike.
Oof.
Telez didn't like that one.
I mean, it was a bad frame and not where he wanted it, but that was a strike.
You got to wonder what this dude's career is going to look like in a couple years. I mean, he's never had.
Who, Telez?
Yeah, he's never been able to stay healthy at any point in his career. And you got to wonder if it's another Prince Fielder situation where he's just carrying around too much. Like baseball players that carry around a lot of weight, they don't last that long, typically.
No, especially if they weirdly go vegan in the middle of it, too.
Oh, God, man, nice rip.
That'll be an RBI. Yeah. All right, 4-2 Brewers now. Telez with an RBI. It's good for my fantasy team, at least.
Yeah. I haven't even checked on mine today.
Man. I picked up Telez off the waiver wire.
Well, he's... I can't believe he was on the fucking waiver wire. Who let him go?
No one. No one. He just didn't get drafted.
And nobody had taken him until now?
No.
Well, you're gonna
first base is pretty deep.
You're gonna win your league if that's the case. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's just missing his spots a little bit. He looks a little bit like Burns looked in that last inning.
He does, yeah.
Maybe it's something with the ball. Maybe it's just baseball. Who knows? Yeah,
whatever. I mean, so what was looking like a super duper dominant Freed outing might hopefully just turn into a run of the mill, very good Freed outing.
Mm.
You know, six innings, two runs. I think he came into this inning with 45-ish pitches, something around there. So he's thrown 17 to get one out.
Yeah.
not ideal.
Yeah, he's at his best when he's attacking and not nibbling. Like that changeup blowing away, dude.
And he was really nibbling on those last couple batters.
He was trying to get the double play. Fuck that. Get the out.
So I mentioned that earlier.
That's what Kranitz told him, by the way. He's like, hey, get these guys out. Fuck the double play.
Right.
Double play will happen if it happens. Get these guys out. That's what I would tell
him. It's like trying too hard to get laid.
Yeah.
You just gotta hang out.
Wanting to be book is not book. Right? It never works out like that. You play your game and realize that you can't necessarily control the outcome. You know what I mean? It's like you start aiming instead of throwing the baseball. And
which is a fucking nightmare.
I don't know why it happens like that, but... You can tell when a pitcher, and it's something that contributes to the yips because it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy for a pitcher. You lose control a little bit. Instead of going just like continuing to throw and finding your release point, you start trying to aim. And what you do is you stop short like this. So none of your, like, that's a great pitch.
That's just filthy.
None of your pitches have the same velocity break or just general movement.
Right.
Right. You don't get the same spin rate that you normally would. And you're basically throwing batting practice at that point. So anything that does come across the zone, it just gets wailed on.
It's like a bad impression of your stuff, essentially, that they can just crank.
Reed White wants to know if the Marlins still have a team. Sort of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure they'll be trading a lot of those pieces. Yeah. Oh, wow. See, that's what... I mean, that's what you want to see out of Max.
He could have done that to Hunter Renfro, and Hunter Renfro would be out.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, he didn't even... He didn't even make a move towards the curveball he threw him to get to the second strike. And if he had just thrown that same fucking pitch again, Hunter Renfro would have been out.
Those two curveballs back-to-back were just absolutely filthy. Yeah. He couldn't do... I mean, he fell to a knee.
Yeah. I mean, so. I'm sure that's what Kranis told him. Like, hey, stop trying to get a double play and get an out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that happens to a pitcher. You get zoned in, like, fuck these guys. I'm going to get this double play. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And Fried has been good at that the last 2 years, really, especially of zoning, like when he just puts on his fuck you face, you know what I mean? When he actually, like in the first inning of the Game 6 of the World Series, where he was just kind of like, dude, fuck this shit. They should not have two dudes on and nobody out. Like, I'm getting these guys out.
He's thrown four consecutive curveballs, and no one's come particularly close to hitting one of them.
No.
Right?
No.
So this is Hura up now. He's seeing two consecutive curveballs. I would throw a low fastball right here.
They're going curve again. Oh, no, it went fastball.
He was trying to get a low fastball. Yeah. That one happened to be right down the goddamn middle. but it was 97, so you can get out of it a little
bit. Thankfully, Hura bats eighth. So,
like, you have to – it's interesting these days with pitchers because there's so much tape on pitchers and there's so much tape on hitters. It's, like, more so than ever.
Yeah.
There's all these mind games going on. They have the iPads in the dugout now, so dudes come in from the field and watch their last at bat on the iPad before they go up to hit. It's crazy. So you can't just pitch
formulaically.
You can't just do it anymore. Like, all right, I got his eye level up here with the curveball. He thinks it's going low. Now I throw a high fastball because dudes are looking for that shit now.
Right.
It makes the game better if you're a fan of the strategy.
The little
behind
things.
It.
That, yeah.
But it makes it extremely frustrating. If you're if you get one of these guys that tries to outsmart himself all the time, like you're Max Fried, you throw 97. Go throw 97.
Right.
Like
that was a little bit like Rick Riley was talking the other day with Mickelson, right? Tries to be 23% more clever. I mean, that's what Max was trying to do. He's getting a little cute, like being like, I'm going to get the double play. I'm going to get out of this. And honestly, it might have been, do you think there was any part of him that was like, ah, dude, fuck that. I should have had that double play on Yelich.
Yeah, certainly.
I'm getting it. I'm going to get that. I can get it.
But you have to have a long and a short memory to be a pitcher.
Yeah.
I think. Especially a reliever, I guess. Like starters are on the mound so much more that it just kind of happens. But if you're a closer, especially, and you get fucking rocked one night, you got to be back in like Charlie Sheen mode the next night, drinking tiger blood or whatever the fuck he does. I want to talk about the Marlins again because my sincere desire is that the Braves get Jazz Chisholm at some point. I fucking love watching that dude play baseball, and he can definitely play shortstop.
what is his primary position?
He's a second baseman. With okay, but he can play short. I don't know if he would be as good as at short as Dansby. I mean, his hands are good. I don't know about the arm.
Right now, Dansby's a top 20 in wins above replacement, basically on defense alone. All right.
Yeah, we got Acuna leading off the inning.
Top of the order coming up. I think he's 0-1 with a walk. Hit by pitch. Yeah. I'm sorry. God, I had looked away when he was up. But yeah, I knew he didn't get a hit.
This is a good ballpark, by the way. I really like Miller Park.
I've heard it's kind of a shit show. Like,
I would say maybe not today because it's the fucking working man's fucking.
Yeah.
It's the businessman day or whatever the fuck. But if you go to a night or especially a night or weekend game, everybody is piss drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to you guys about it before the show. The city of Milwaukee and the team have colluded to. Ooh, that's a tough pitch. Oof, man, that's a strike. they've colluded to or coordinated on buying up a bunch of buses. And maybe it's the Bar and Restaurant Association that has something to do with it too. But these little short buses drive around, like a bunch of them, drive around the city to all the bars and pick people up and take them to the stadium for free.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's awesome. And to be honest, when I lived in Wisconsin, it was kind of a thing to have two beers at lunch. Like, really? Still, yes. Even working in like politics and shit there, it was kind of a thing where, oh, we're going to lunch. All right, cool. I'll see you later. And then we would go drink two beers and fucking that was... It was common to do that. It was common for people just to be drinking in the office all the time.
Love that.
Yeah, it's common to see babies in bars.
that happens a lot here, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's just like a whole industry in Austin where it's like, drink with your child.
Yeah, why not? There's a bar in right down the street from where I lived on Piedmont Avenue in Oakland that had 3-2 pitch. Definitely not seeing the ball that great.
Defensive swing there.
he got locked up last night by a fastball right down the fucking middle.
I saw that on
2-2. I'm like, yeah.
I was like, what were you looking
why
for?
Why are you guessing on 2-2?
Yeah.
Fucking, you're one of the best hitters in baseball. Just fucking react. Anyways, there was a place where it was like a dog and cat rescue wine bar. Mm-hmm. So you go in and drink wine. And you can play with dogs, like puppies and kittens and rescue dogs and shit. And if you want, you can buy one and take it home.
Yeah. And you get drunk, so you fall in love with them. And
it's a pretty good business model, I think.
It's not bad. I do appreciate that. I mean, you know, it's beer country up there, like Miller Lite and all that shit.
They don't fuck around. I mean, Miller Lite, Laughing Cow, Happy Cow, what is it called? New Glazier, whatever the fucking...
I have no idea what the Wisconsin microbrew scene is. Olsen's up now, by the way. 0-1. Fastball by Burns is still missing.
Yeah, he's off. It's Spotted Cow.
Spotted Cow.
Okay. Lining Kugels is up there. There's a bunch of fucking booze up there.
Yeah. I mean, that's... they're like Missouri in that way. Like, I mean, their biggest Fortune 500 company is alcohol.
Yeah.
So they like to drink. But I feel like Wisconsin even more so, because they're just like these beefy northern Midwesterners.
Yeah, I don't think, I wouldn't say that people are just walking around pissed drunk all the time, but people, actually, so this is a good anecdote. I went to, I saw Bill Burr in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Which is a very sensitive place. it's like, Madison is like, kind of like a Midwestern San Francisco in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. It's like a college town.
Yeah, but it's more than just a college town. Like, okay. It's one of the epicenters for progressive politics in America.
Okay.
So they're, as such, they are extremely butthurt about pretty much everything all the time. which made it, that was a great pitch. Which made it super funny, because Bill Burr came in to this, like, performing arts center to do a show. Probably like 400 or 500 people in there. Mm-hmm. And just immediately started talking about how thick the calves and ankles of Midwesterners were. It's like, what are you motherfuckers always walking uphill? And why is it I'm here in the wintertime and there's multiple people in shorts? Like, what's going on? The real answer is that people have a light buzz on. It reminds me of like the one of the later seasons of Trailer Park Boys before Leahy died in real life. He got a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
And he goes, I used to walk around at like 0.22. which is completely shit-faced.
Yeah.
But now I keep it at around 0.12, which is right in the sweet spot. that's pretty much Wisconsin. They keep it in the sweet spot.
It's fair.
So if you see somebody that's got multiple DUIs from Wisconsin, you know that person is basically George W. Bush. Like, against all odds, you've managed to get a DUI.
Person just really fucking overdoes it. Yeah. Riley's up again now. Two outs. Look, good AB so far.
Yeah.
2-0. It was nice to see him get into one, because he's been pretty bad lately. The whole offense has been kind of unwatchable until, again, like the seventh inning last night or whenever it was.
Oh, there we go. That's when he's good right there.
That's how you know.
When he's staying on that ball and going the other way.
Yeah. Even more so than him crushing a ball 400 feet.
Yeah.
Because he can accidentally do that.
Yeah.
Like, that is... That's Riley B.
Well, that's what he did 3 years ago when he first came up.
Yeah.
He had all those home runs, but they were all left field.
Yeah.
More or less.
He was just running into balls.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he's a big, strong dude. He's 6'3". Whoa, bottom hand came off. So I'm looking at Chisholm from his career. He's played like 46 games at shortstop. His range factor is the same at shortstop as it is at second. He had more errors, though. I would imagine there's probably more throwing errors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too concerned about that, provided he's throwing the ball to Matt Olson, because
right.
he's going to save you probably 20 to 40% of those errors.
Yeah,
honestly.
I mean, who the fuck was he throwing to in Miami?
I don't even know who their fucking first baseman is, to be honest. Hold on, let me look.
By the way, some Dodgers writer or fan or whatever tweeted, it was a blue check, so I think it was a writer or some famous Dodgers fan that I'd never heard of. That was like, Freddie Freeman just did this, and it was Freddie Freeman doing the splits to catch a ball. And everyone was like, yeah, no shit,
doing that for a long time. Like, put some respect on his name. He's like one of the best defensive first basemen in baseball, yeah. Motherfucker.
Like, I've been watching him do that for fucking 12 years.
And how much range factor can you even have at first? Like, that's the only thing that would stop him. Like, Olsen is slower than Freddie somehow.
He is.
That dude looks like he's running in quicksand.
He's like a Frankenstein.
Whenever he hits a ground ball, I'm like, fuck's sake, man. This is, you could have hit a ground ball to left field and you would get thrown out. Their first baseman is Jesus Aguilar.
Oh, yeah. I like Aguilar.
He can hit.
He's, probably not saving too many balls.
No, he doesn't look like, just from his face.
Yeah.
He's got a very Edwin Encarnacion face. Although Encarnacion was surprisingly good at first base.
Yeah, he could field. But no.
Not in the outfield, but in first base, he was pretty legit. Let's see. What are you guys doing today out in the fucking chat here? Just fucking jacking each other off. Oh, there we go. Stayed on,
dude,
that one.
If Ozuna and Riley turn it on again, I mean, this is the type of thing where we could rip off like 5 or 6 series wins in a row.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think we're 7 games out.
Oh, I don't care
something like
about
that.
It
doesn't matter too much. You just want to stay out of double digits.
Yeah. Well, I just want them to win series. I don't really care.
Right.
Like, the Mets will cool off eventually. They're actually 5-5 in the last 10 games.
Yeah. So we're 6.5 games out. That's perfectly manageable. Yeah. If we win this game, 6, I mean, we'll gain a half game. Yeah. Depends on what the Mets do today. The whole NL East, aside from the Mets, is all... Well, I mean, not the aside from the Mets. The Braves, Marlins, and Phillies are all bunched up at 6 to 6.5 games out.
Phillies... I wouldn't say surprisingly good, but better sooner than I thought they would be.
I mean, we liked the way that team was constructed, given, you know, that you can't just build a perfect team.
Well, they're getting a lot more out of Alec Boehm than I thought they would offensively.
Yeah.
I kind of figured he was going to have, I guess it's not a sophomore slump, although I don't really count that COVID year. He had a pretty decent year last year.
Yeah.
But he's improved quite a bit this year, and it's like how many pitches he's seeing. He doesn't walk very much, but he's having a pretty good year. We'll see if he can sustain that.
You seen, speaking of the NL East, what Buster Olney wrote today?
No.
So he wrote an article.
Who does he even work for anymore?
ESPN.
Like, you don't see him on...
He's on broadcast. I just don't really watch ESPN broadcast.
Yeah, I guess I don't either.
Because they're fucking terrible. Yeah. But he's with ESPN. Buster Olney wrote today. There's like just 10 X factors as the MLB trade market heats up. Number one, will the Washington Nationals trade Juan Soto?
Get the fuck out of here.
Like,
I mean, what would you...
I would rebel as a fucking fan if they traded Juan Soto. He hasn't signed an extension. He hasn't done the Acuna or anything like that, right? So he wants a Trout deal, a Harper deal.
Yeah, and he should fucking get it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if... I'm trying to think if anybody of his metal has ever been traded that young in their career. When did Miguel Cabrera leave Miami?
Great question. But that was as a free agent,
I think it was. But, I mean, if he doesn't sign... Like, if he tells them, I don't want to sign in Washington, maybe that happens. I don't know why he would say that.
So, Miguel Cabrera...
he was like 26 or 27.
Yeah, it was 2007. So he was 24, actually.
Oh, shit. Well,
but he came up when he was 20.
So did Soto.
Yeah.
So it's the same track. Fuck, man. I don't know. That would be... And that's kind of the Marlins game. That's what they do.
Yeah.
The Nationals haven't really done that. Like, they had...
Do you think there's any complacency there because they already got a World Series out of them?
I mean, maybe you got to think of it this way.
And by the way, like, Trey Turner's not old either.
No, he was 27 when they traded him.
And yeah, and he's a top 10 player.
Yeah.
I mean he's like a top 5 fantasy player.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. I guess you have to think about it from an organizational perspective. Like, what value could you get out of them? I'm not saying they're going to make a deal. I doubt they would, but they let Harper go.
Right.
Right? They traded Trey
But they
Turner.
Let Harper go because Soto was there.
Yeah, but that's, man, imagine both of those guys. Imagine them as your corner outfielders, right?
Right.
And keeping Trey Turner. And I know you're running into some salary issues at that point, but if you're... Like, how likely are you to buy super nice wheels and tires for a shitty car?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe they're thinking of it that way. I don't think the Nationals are that terrible that they should just get rid of him, though. That would be really surprising.
No, it's insane. He's the best pure hitter in baseball.
Yeah.
And he's so good that his arbitration salary is $17 million. Yeah. Like, yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
And they've got... Their pitching staff is bullshit, but they've got Josh Bell, Michael Franco, they've got D. Gordon, who sucks this year for some reason. I don't know what's going on with him. But, you know, Soto and Nelson Cruz won't be around much longer, but they've got some pieces there. What would you have to get for, and who would you trade him to? Like, who would you trade him to that would give you pieces back? That have pieces. I don't know if anybody's got the draft capital that would buy a guy like Soto and be able to give him a long term. Because
I mean, the haul you would need, especially if it's prospects.
Yeah.
Real quick, while the Braves hopefully win this game and keep going and all that stuff, I got some ads to read. If you love sports and you love making money and you know any of that, if you like doing any of that, then mybookie.com is the place for you. Not only does betting with mybookie.com make every game more exciting, but when you sign up using the promo code Drinkin' Bros, your first deposit is instantly doubled up to $1,000 with thousands of bets to make on all your favorite sports. There's no shortage of ways for you to win at MyBookie.com. On top of having amazing lines and props, MyBookie is also home to several exclusive contests and promotions. They do stuff for March Madness. They do stuff for college football, NFL playoffs, Super Bowl, all kinds of stuff like that. Also, amazing prop bets and stuff like that. Delco Dan likes to bet golf. All kinds of good stuff you can bet on mybookie.com. So get off the couch and get in the game with MyBookie and turn your love of sports into your new side hustle. Head to mybookie.com today and use the promo code DRINKINBROS to get your first deposit instantly doubled up to $1,000 and start winning today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Oh.
Which, how many of those fucking prospects that you're going to get back are 23?
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's the age of a prospect still. Just hold on. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. But, like, it's really not... I mean, Buster Olney doesn't, like, pull shit out of his ass.
Yeah.
Like, he's a pretty fucking good reporter. Like, he's not going to, like, wildly speculate. I mean, everybody's got to get clicks. But, yeah. Like, he's not crazy. So, Fried's back out here, by the way. Top of the fifth. He's at 70 pitches. What do you think? They probably let him go this in one more inning, assuming he's clean.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if he goes through a quick inning, I don't think there's a pitch count on him. It's more of a matter of how you want to set up your bullpen to close out this game.
Yeah.
Do they have an off day tomorrow, or is it?
No, I mean, or yeah, they should have an off day on Thursday. Yeah. All right. Two pitches to Caratini. So nice. So
they may get the bullpen in a little bit earlier, but Matzig is out on the 15-day DL now with some soreness. So they probably don't want to dig too deep into the bullpen, although they really haven't had to in this series so far. So everybody should be relatively fresh. I mean, McEwen threw two innings last night, Minter threw one, Will Smith threw .1, and then Kenley Jansen closed it out. So it's not like they overworked the pen that much. I don't know. I leave it up to him. He's mad. He's your ace, right?
Yeah.
If he tells you he wants to go back out, because you want him to have that confidence. But there's also no reason. It depends on if the Braves score more, too, and when Burns comes out. I think that's whenever Burns comes out of the game, the Braves are like, all right, cool.
Chill a little bit.
Yeah.
How much do you think they want to win this series? Like, how much do you think that is valuable to them as opposed to being like, all right, it's just another, you know, quarter mile in the marathon?
You mean the Braves or the Brewers?
Braves.
Like, the Brewers want this series, I would assume.
Yeah.
But the Braves... yeah, I mean, it's an important, like we were talking to Cam Haynes yesterday about what he thinks about when he's running and shit like that.
Yeah.
And breaking it down into segments and accomplishing little goals as you're accomplishing a big goal. I think that's an important thing to do during the season. It's what one of the hallmarks of the success of people like Jordan and Kobe Bryant and shit, where they, you know, find challenges for themselves and they also happen to benefit the larger goal. So yeah, they definitely want to win this fucking series. That's a good pitch right there.
Come on.
Nice pick.
God damn, that defense.
I don't know if
defense is good.
Anybody's better at picking that than Olsen. I don't know if I've seen anybody. Maybe Keith Hernandez or something.
I mean, Freddie was pretty fucking elite at it.
He was pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I like a left-handed first baseman sometimes. It helps for some stuff, but it's hard to argue with either one of those two guys.
I mean, it's nice for, you know, dudes like Swanson and Riley in particular, who can just basically, like, all I have to do is throw it at Olsen. Like, it doesn't really matter how I throw it at Olsen, as long as it goes at
him. In the
him.
General direction, yeah.
Yeah, you're fucking good to go. That was dirty.
Man, that is not a strike, but it's close.
Burns literally didn't get that against Acuna last inning, or last half inning, or whatever. But yeah, Fried's looking good. Fried's dealing pretty decent. He's only thrown 7 pitches so far this inning. So keep it under 10.
Ooh, man.
That won't happen.
No. Well, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, true.
That's a nice stroke, though. He left that ball up too far.
Yeah. That curveball or whatever that he planted at the top of the zone was a little, seemed like it was a little floated.
Yeah, if you're going to back that pitch up, so if you throw a curveball that you get called strike and it's up in the zone, one that kind of nips the top end of the strike zone, you have to change the eye level of the hitter or benefit from where the eye level is, which means you have to throw a fastball up and out of the zone. You can't throw a belt-high fastball behind that pitch.
Here's Yelich again. So Yelich just saw a free last inning.
Yeah.
So fresh eyes, hitting pretty well this season.
He's been starting these. That's the
changer third, slider.
That's a changeup. That's the third time I've seen him throw a first pitch changeup to a lefty. That's not a typical pitch that a lefty throws to another lefty. It's interesting. But what he's trying to do is, it's the third time through the order, he's trying to upset his timing a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I throw, inside fastball right here probably. And he was
looking, oh wow, come on. Yeah, stay with it.
Nice play.
God damn, that's some good defense.
He was looking.
Also, he stayed under 10 pitches.
Yeah. He was looking for that pitch and hit it hard, but, you know, that's why you have a defense, I guess. Yeah. Are they saying that Olsen's foot may have come off the bag?
I think they're just looking to challenge. I think they might just think that Yelich got there.
I don't think he got there. We'll see here.
Yeah. Maybe it is Olsen's foot coming off the bag.
No, but they didn't miss that. The ump is staring right at it. Surprisingly, like with the balls and strikes are one thing. Some umpires are extremely good at that. I mean, like 98% accurate on that. Some of them fucking suck.
Like Kuzi last night.
Yeah, Kuzi's always bad. He's, if you look on the list of shitty umpires for pitchers, he's up near, he's pro pitcher. He's like the top 10 for pro pitcher umpires.
Yeah.
He's got a wide zone. But as far as bang bang plays at first base, it's over 98%. That they get correct. I mean, it's incredible. I guess there's just a strategy to it. I'm told
it's
that they
sight and sound, right?
Yeah, they look at the bag and listen for the ball hitting the glove.
Yeah,
but that's a lot, especially in a playoff game. You know? Like everybody's raging and going crazy and shit. some of the other fucking stuff in this article are the Red Sox going to trade Xander Bogaerts. Now they've got a little bit more capital. Political capital to do that this year because the Red Sox are off to an absolutely terrible start.
Right.
But man, if they start dealing away Devers and Bogaerts after getting rid of fucking Mookie, that's not a good look for a team that is historically in the top five for salary, right?
Yeah. Not to mention the team that is literally, they've been the best team of the 21st century.
Yeah.
They've won 4 World Series. They've won a World Series more than once every however many years. I mean, like, once every 5 years, essentially, they've won a World Series. Like, that's, they've dominated the 21st century. And they've, actually don't think they've lost a World Series this century.
No, the last one they were even in before this century was 86.
Yeah.
So, yeah, their pitching staff sucks.
It's not good. I mean, their entire pitching staff is full of like 3 and 4s.
Yeah.
So Burns is back out.
I don't think the Yankees pitching staff is terribly good either. They're just like Nestor Cortez is overperforming right now. I think he's going to come back to earth at some point.
Italian too, right?
He's been better. Yeah. But I think by the time they come back to they regress to the mean, it's going to be too late. Like the Yankees are fucking crushing it this year.
Yeah.
Literally, actually. Aaron Judge should have had 3 home runs yesterday and not 2. But it's only a matter of time before his body disintegrates.
If they get a full year out of Judge and Stanton, like that team's terrifying.
Yeah.
That team, last time they did, or was Stanton on the team when they lost the LCS in 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had an 8.1 war that year, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's fucking crazy.
And that's all offense, by the way. He doesn't add anything to your defense, really.
Judge is surprisingly like okay at defense.
Yeah.
But yes,
he's okay at fielding. He's got a hose though.
And he's a giant Frankenstein, so he doesn't have to jump to reach over the wall.
He's only played over 130 games twice in his career.
Who, Stanton?
Yeah. No, Judge.
Judge, yeah, doesn't surprise me. I mean, the last time Stanton, maybe not the last time, but one of the only times Stanton played a full year. Get down. Nah, he's going to get that. When he hit, 50-something home run? I mean, he got real close to 60, didn't he?
I think he had 56 one year or 57.
Let me look that up.
You're talking about Judge, right?
No, Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, let's see. He had 59, damn. Yeah, that was 2017. Same year, different team.
Okay, so that was actually, he did not play in that NLC or ALCS against the Astros.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Judge.
Yeah. Judge was there.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 38 home runs in 2018, too. And then after that, I guess he played a pretty full year last year. 139 games, Stanton did. So, All right. He's already got 10 homers this year. Yeah, if those two are together, fuck.
He's been pretty good in the postseason as well. Career 382 hitter in 18 games in the postseason. They just can't keep him. They just can't get him there.
Yeah.
They can't win series. It's not his fault they're losing.
Stanton has kind of been a killer in the postseason as well.
That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, yeah. His last three, Stanton's last three postseasons, although I guess you can't really count last year because it was just he just played the play-in game.
Mm.
But
he still performed.
523 WRC+, 254 WRC+, 125 WRC+. Yeah. So he murders baseballs in October. Swanson's up now, one out. Burns pitching. Burns is...
Oh, man.
That's his second hit batter of the game.
That looked like he was trying. So that was 96, but that's his cutter that just slipped out of his hand.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if there's something going on with the ball today because both guys, I don't think there is. I think Freddie just lost. He was just trying to nibble too much and get that double play. But that's twice now that that Burns has completely lost control of his cutter, which is just a close grip fastball, right? Instead of having your fingers split apart, it's just kind of a closer grip.
Yeah.
And you move your thumb based on where you want it to cut. He may be developing a blister or something like that, too. Like, it's... Nolan Ryan used to have that problem. Then he started soaking his whole hand in pickled brine.
Okay.
To toughen up his fingers, or some people do, like guitar players do it, too. They'll use sandpaper or something to develop calluses and shit. Pickle brine apparently works really well.
You dip it in tar
and then dip it into nails and then dip it into broken glass.
No, that's a kickboxer.
Ah.
Right? Isn't that the name of that movie?
It's not Bloodsport.
No, it's not Bloodsport. I think it's kickboxer.
Yeah. I think you're right, yeah. And then who made fun of it and dipping it in the chocolate and like the M&Ms and the candy?
Yeah, I don't remember. But that was funny, yeah.
Sorry to derail your podcast.
No, it's...
I'm always down with Jean-Claude Van Damme talk on this. Yeah. That's fine. That's fine with me.
I agree. Sorry. I just got a text from Ross. I didn't know if it was the baby being born or not. That baby just doesn't want to be born.
No. I mean, do you think it just doesn't want to meet Ross?
Probably, yeah. Oh, Duvall just missed out. That's his pitch, too. He loves that low fucking breaking pitch.
Do you remember that Van Damme commercial with Volvo with their automated trucks, and he's just doing the splits in between the two trucks?
That was his thing, man, doing the splits.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a particularly good martial artist, but he's an incredible athlete.
You know your lane, and you stay to it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's interesting who... we decide from film is good and not good at martial arts, right?
Who, like, do we decide was good? Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee was a legit dude.
According to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No, Brad Pitt terrible. Just took him out, yeah. Back in his day, what's his nuts? The fucking... What's that motherfucker's name? Hang on. In the pitch. the guy that does Aikido.
Oh, Jean... We were just talking about Jean-Claude, but...
Casey Ryback. What the fuck is his name?
Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal. Back in his day, he was probably pretty good at stuff.
No.
Aikido is a... But even then, it's still dancing. You know what I mean?
Steven Seagal does keto?
Aikido, not keto.
does Steven Seagal look keto to you?
I was like, that diet clearly doesn't work.
Yeah.
No. He's more on the... He's vegan, but it's all donuts, I think. But no, they're like legit martial artists. Jeff Speakman, the guy that was in The Perfect Weapon, he was a legit one. But the guys that are actually really good at martial arts don't get famous.
Yeah.
It's about like being athletic.
I was about to be like, well, you have to be able to act too, but that's not super duper.
Well, not if you're Asian. You just have to act surprised because Americans can't figure out what's happening.
Right.
Do you remember the first time you heard Jet Li speak?
I do not.
It was upsetting for me. Like the first time I remember seeing him was in Lethal Weapon 4, I think, and he didn't talk the whole time. I was like, man, this dude's a fucking badass.
So
and then he started talking. He was like, I'm going to kill you. Like, no, you're not, dude.
I've never heard him talk for that
was
reason.
Was that in Romeo Must Die?
Yeah, I think so.
That scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was actually based on a real event. When he was on the set of The Green Hornet, there was this guy, Gene LaBelle, who was like a judo champion and was just tasked with... putting Bruce Lee in a headlock. And from his martial arts studies that he had done, there weren't really many headlocks. Mm. It was a lot of striking attacks. So apparently.
Did he toss him into a car?
I hope so.
You got to assume, I mean, Chuck Norris was a legit world champion before he started acting.
Yeah.
So maybe he fought in actual competitions and won and beat people. But it was like, what was it? Fucking karate.
It was karate.
So
I don't really count.
Karate is like a point system. The same as, like, I don't know.
Travis, is that like in It's Always Sunny where Matt gets the point?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uncontested point in an actual martial art competition. Let's see. Some people in the chat are talking about it as well. Nope. Nothing.
Demerit is up now. If he gets on, Acuna's up. Burns is at over 100 pitches. You think they kind of done with him after this inning, probably? If Acuna comes up, do they let him finish off?
In a two-run game, I wouldn't, no.
Right? You would think it'd be time to...
I mean, he's done pretty well against Acuna today, so maybe, but I would... is anybody in the bullpen?
They haven't shown anyone warming up them. I don't know if they mentioned it on the broadcast or not, though.
Oh, come on.
Nah.
Got it off the end of the bat. Yeah. That's too bad.
Bummer.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So, we're all done with that.
Reed's going back out, though.
Yeah, he's. I think they're going to give him probably two more. We'll see. I mean, why take him out at this point? Unless he gets in trouble this inning, they might get somebody out, but we'll see.
I think you really want the series win. Like, I think, for one thing, actually, I meant to say this earlier. I think they were pretty pissed that they blew that Padres series.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of the mind of, like, fuck this. Like, I want to take another series from a good team.
Yeah, I mean...
And that is the type of thing. Like, that's a confidence builder. Because then, who do they got next?
Miami.
Yeah, like, then you can, you know, go in against these, like, second-tier teams and be like, yeah, all right, we can beat people. We can beat motherfuckers.
They're going to Miami, and they're coming back for Philly and Miami at home. And then they play... They go on a West Coast trip to Arizona and Colorado, where, honestly, they shouldn't lose a single game.
Because Arizona's been surprisingly good.
They're good when fucking Bumgarner's on the mound.
Okay, sure. So here's a question. I actually looking at their upcoming games, literally from May 18th to June 19th. So for the next month, I think this is a huge fucking month for the Braves. They get Miami, Philadelphia, Miami, Arizona, Colorado, Oakland, Pittsburgh, the Nats, and the Cubs.
Man.
They need to win a lot of those games.
They should win most of those series. If not,
they should win all of those series. The A's is a two game is two games, and the Rockies, Pirates, and the Rockies and Pirates are four games.
I think the I don't understand why Bumgarner is in Arizona.
Because he doesn't care. I don't know. Because there's more rattlesnakes to kill over there. Like
maybe
he's not thinking like a baseball player.
He's just angry and wants to be somewhere that's going to make him angrier. Maybe
yeah. Does he seem like a guy that would have a good time in San Francisco?
No, he definitely hates it there. I just don't know why he didn't like. I understand why he went there because the money was good and it's, you know, whatever. But
they were still, what year did he go there? They weren't like totally terrible when he went there either.
Nah, he went 2020. So, but he had kind of a rough season and a half, I guess.
And he's young too. Well, youngish. Like he's
32.
Yeah, like he's not that old. People think he's like old as fuck because he's like Soto. Like he came up, he was on that 2010 Giants team, yeah. But he was like 20.
And by the way, while we were shooting the shit about Bumgarner, Fried's up 0-2 on Renfro, like attacking him instead of fucking around nibbling.
Yeah.
So he's going low and away here. Oh boy. Darnold got clipped a little bit with that foul ball.
Yeah. All curves so far, I think.
Yeah. I would throw a high fastball up and out of the zone right here. Maybe low and in, but you at some point change the eye level, then I throw the same change up to him that he got a hit on last time. That's Max Fried attacking this guy. Looks like he's going low and in. Ooh,
boom. With the see you.
Little so, break pitch there. Yeah, that was a nice pitch.
We're going to know a lot about the Braves, I think, after this next month.
Sure, yeah.
You can't go 500 over those games.
No.
You need to win two-thirds of those games.
Yeah, somebody, they need some clubhouse leadership as well. You know, somebody to step up and fucking... Yeah,
because after that, by the way, they get San Francisco at home for four, LA at home for three. Then they go on the road to Philly. They on the road at Cincinnati, so that's fine. But then they get St. Louis at home. And then a series with the Nats, and then the Mets.
Yeah.
So, like, after that, this nice little cushy month or whatever, minus, I don't know, basically the Phillies, they got some fucking work to close out the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Like, this next month is kind of, it's not going to, like, fully decide everything, but we're going to see where the fuck we're at.
Yeah, for sure. man, I really want... The Braves should trade for Bumgarner.
That'd be pretty sick. I love actually. That dude. I'd be down with that.
yeah, this will be a pretty interesting.
Man, Taylor got two
month
hits,
or so. Yeah.
Two hits off Fried now too.
Both. Well,
he,
out,
I
both
think he kind of well. He ambushed that pitch though. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see, the Braves get off to a strong start against these shitty teams and then get bored in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It happens. I mean, it's, I don't think you want a long run against shitty teams. Especially if you're the kind of team that they are, which is like a come from behind kind of attitude, because, that's not a strike. Come on, man. you know, it's like the Warriors, they get bored.
Mm-hmm.
Playing shitty teams. I mean, I guess what the Warriors consider a shitty team is not the same as what a normal basketball right. team would, but good pitch. Good Lord. That curveball is fucking nasty.
Just waved at that one.
yeah, we'll see. It'll definitely be telling. You got to think the Phillies, that bad defense is going to catch up to them at some point.
Yeah.
So I don't know if even that's going to be that great of a series. It depends.
Anything can happen. I mean, I'd be amenable. If that's a four-game series, so if we split with the Phillies, whatever, that's fine. There you go. But, I mean, you need to be, like, doing shit, like sweeping the two games against the A's, taking three or four from the Pirates, two or three from the Nats and Cubs, so on and so forth. I guess, you know, I could live with a split in Colorado, because Colorado's weird. And but, yeah, like, you need to be doing some fucking work. So what, 1-2 now against Tellez? Fried closing it out.
He's throwing three consecutive curveballs. Four consecutive curveballs. He's really liking that pitch.
Telez has put the bat on a lot of balls. Mm. He fouled off a lot in his first AB, got a hit in his second AB. He might just be seeing the ball really well in general right now, because, I mean, he's been mashing so far. But I could use his fat ass grounding into a double play here.
Yeah, I can't imagine he runs very quickly.
No. I mean, he's not even in the field today. He's DHing. In fact, he might just be DHing now most of the time. Yeah. I don't think he's that good in the field.
What does he usually play, first base?
He was last year.
Hmm. Let's look. See what he's doing. I mean, they had McCutchen at DH, but he's been out for a while because he's old as shit.
How old is McCutchen?
38, I think. Oof, man.
Ooh, dirty.
Just five consecutive curveballs. And he only really got close to the one he fouled off.
Yeah. McCutchen's 35.
Oh, he's 35? Yeah. God damn,
he just,
dude.
Man, I mean, but he's been like a dead person for the last four years. Like, he won that MVP and then just his body, I don't know what happened. Yeah, whatever.
Telez has only DH'd three games this year. It's mostly been first base. His defensive war is minus 3.3, though, so yeah. It's not great. Brousseau. This is a guy that will put up like oddly okay numbers because nobody ever thinks about him.
If you're playing in a 20-team fantasy league.
Yeah. He's another one of those products of fucking Tampa Bay. That's just like a dude that if you use him correctly can, ooh boy.
Fuck. That's going to be another run.
Yep.
And a double.
This is a good situation or a good example. He's a guy that in the right situation will perform.
Yeah.
But it's only in the right situation where he performs. Typical Tampa Bay shit. Like, if there's a guy that Tampa Bay's had for a couple of years, picking him up from them as a free agent is a good thing. I wouldn't trade with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And any, like, there's no fucking way. Trading with Tampa Bay would be like buying a used car from a known liar. Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do that.
Like, not even a known liar. It's just like, that guy knows exactly when the car is useless.
Yeah, it's like negotiating against Scott Boras or something. Yeah. Which, yeah. By the way, that's Soto's
agent.
So yeah. Maybe some of this stuff is because of that, right? Him not being signed to a long-term deal yet. I don't know what the Phillies have offered him, but so...
You mean the Nats?
Oh, the Nats, yeah. I don't know what they've offered him, but man, I mean, how do you let a generational talent go?
You fucking can't. Again, like I said, too, so they offered him a 13-year extension. 13-year, $350 million.
I wouldn't take that if I was him.
Yeah.
I would be looking more in like a 6-7-year deal. So you're still in the middle of your prime when you get to sign another 10-year deal.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
Which,
why not?
Yeah. I mean, look, let's say you get injured at some point, you still make a couple hundred mil and that's just your life. But if like it's a risk, but maximize your value, man. He has the potential to make $500 million in his career.
Yeah.
And that's not even really a stretch, to be honest. Like, he could sign.
Mike Trout signed a half bill, what, like 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
So add in like 2 years. I think he's a official free agent after 2024.
Yeah.
So,
or maybe in 24.
Maybe in 20, after 23.
Because he came out when he was 19. So his service time at 6 years. Yeah, I think it would be 20. After 23, that's probably a strike. So what's that? That's he'll be 25 then.
Yeah.
So you sign a 6-year deal. You're still 31. 6 years. I mean,
Freddie just got
250. Like he's not going to get a Freddie Freeman deal. He's going to get a much better deal.
Oh yeah,
I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I am. By the way, though, like I've said this before, I am a little concerned that he is Albert Pujols 2.0. Definite Hall of Famer and all that shit, but like. There are two very distinct halves to his career.
It's all possible. Right. He's got...
Fried gets out of it.
Just incredible patience and bat speed.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
We'll see. Anyways, we got to go do another show.
So we will see you the fuck later. Bye.